Hey guys, it's Mel, your host of the Cutting Edge Podcast. This is a show where we talk transformation from every angle, body, mind, and confidence with a little sparkle and a whole lot of truth. I'm joined by my amazing co-host, Dr. Omar Betas, and the plastic surgery pro, and Ashlyn Douglas Barnes, our go-to therapist and mindset queen. Now, quick disclaimer, none of us are your doctor or therapist. We are just here sharing real talk, real stories, and real growth. So grab your protein shake, settle in, and let's get into it. This is The Cutting Edge. Welcome to The Cutting Edge Podcast. I'm your host, Mel. And of course, today we are on a great topic. It is about perfectionism and really like what it's like for bariatrics and then us sliding right into going to plastic. So we have our experts to talk about it. We have Dr. Omar Betas and Ms. Ashlyn Douglas Barnes. Welcome.
Oh, another great topic. I feel like I say that every time, but that's it is okay. True.
It's a good one because I've had people argue with me about perfection. So it's like, because I hate perfection. So I think I'm like the opposite of a lot of people.
You hate perfection.
I hate perfection.
Hate
100%. Yeah. Mm-hmm. With real like feelings behind it. Because I know like I've watched people chase it so much. Mm-hmm. And they are so disappointed in the fact that they're not perfect, but they don't see all the growth and all the cool things they've done. They're just so negative and just fixate on the fact they're not perfect and they're not giving themselves any credit. Even when I've tried to like boost them up, it still goes back to like, no, I'm an idiot. I'm dumb. I'm a loser. I'm not perfect. And that's what I have to be. And I'm just like, how do I get you to stop thinking that way? Because it just hurts me.
Wait, you hate perfection in all aspects of life or just in people trying to be perfect?
Just in people trying to be perfect.
Okay. That's okay.
That's a little bit better. You can be perfect at work.
I was like, I'm sure Dr. Betas is like, I strive for perfectionism at work.
Yes, you do. You do. But yes, more it's in people because it literally makes me sad. Like I'm an empath. I can feel it. I don't like it.
So I'm like, I can agree. I mean, I can agree with your statement. I was going to disagree if you said in life you don't like perfection. Like,
oh, yeah. You know. No, because I know, like, when it comes to certain, like, projects I do, I want it to be fucking perfect. Like, JBY, like, this last go-around was so smooth, and it's because, like, me and the live stream people all sat together for, like, 2 hours. And that's what you gotta do, because you want it to be perfect. So that's fine. Yeah. But yeah, the mental psyche is just, like, ugh.
So perfectionism, when I work with therapists who have never experienced obesity themselves, it always surprises them, shocks them, and they are kind of like, what? When I tell them that one of the most common themes in theory and therapy for bariatrics is perfectionism. And they're like, wow. What? Wait a minute. Like, that's so confusing to them. But I'm like, think about societal norms around being fat. Like, you have to prove you are trying hard enough, you're doing enough, you're the best friend, I have to make up for the fact that I'm fat, so therefore I must be the best friend, the best daughter, the best student, yep. The best worker, whatever. And so it's kind of this feeling of I need to show that I'm doing enough effort, and I'm trying really hard. And that shows up a lot in bariatrics because it's
right here.
Like, if you just followed the rules to the T and were perfect, you'd lose the weight and the magic, like all the magic would happen. And it's like, I have a lot of people, actually perfectionism is what causes them the most issues. It's like, I remember I had a friend who was like, oh, I can't have a smoothie. And I was like, oh, okay. Like that's too much sugar or whatever. She's like, no, I don't know how many pieces of pineapple and pieces of like, I don't know how many pieces of each fruit because it's like a mixed bag. It had all different kinds of fruit in it. How would she weigh that out? And she wouldn't know. And I was like, okay, like.
That's a whole new level.
Like, if you take the scale with you to Chipotle and have them put everything individually so that you can weigh out how much rice. And like you aren't going to be able to sustain that level forever. And I'm not a big fan of doing anything that you can't do forever in the long term, not necessarily in the short term. There are things you're going to have to do short term, but I think that it's interesting because it often spills over. Like, I was a good bariatric patient, and now I have to be a good, you know, post-plastics, and things are not going the way I'm doing everything they're supposed to, and I'm still really swollen. I'm still not seeing the results that I want to see. And it's like, okay. Well,
what's wild is when you literally said the rules thing, I've said that verbatim to myself before, like 100%. And it's wild because I didn't even think about it. I'm like I have done that to myself 1,000 times. And then when I don't like complete whatever it is, or if I haven't lost the weight, or if I couldn't get into the jeans and stuff, I would totally be like, okay, so I must be doing something wrong because I followed every single thing. Now I tell myself I am a failure because these are the instructions and I'm not doing it. Like, it's not working. So then I feel like an actual failure. It's like fucking...
Like you mess up the baking the cake or something.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. I take, because, well, here's the thing. I'm very analytical and I love numbers. So, like, for me, when we're moving the scale down, you know, I'm thinking all, like, the in calorie, out calorie. I'm thinking of the protein. I'm thinking of the water. Mm. I'm thinking of, because I actually, like, gained a couple pounds these last 2 weeks, but I realized my water's been awful. I haven't hit my water goal at all. So I'm like, that has to be probably what it is. So I'm just maybe holding more water or something's going on with that. So, but that's how much I look into it as well, because I like numbers.
See, now you have flexibility in thinking, which is, by the way, goal of therapy, to say, I'm not, it's not simply like I'm eating too much, I'm eating the wrong things. I'm like, maybe it could be not that I'm messing this all up, but maybe I need to try focusing on water. Maybe it's water retention. Because I think what happens, particularly if you grow up in certain households, is like that's an excuse. And so you're not allowed to consider it. So if I'm thinking, trying to think just analytically and like looking at the situation, like, what could it be? Oftentimes I think it's salt content, really, if you're going way up or way down in a day. I'm like, you did not eat the excess calories to gain 5 pounds in a day. I have a feeling this is water or salt.
And that's what I told myself. I'm like, there's no way, there's not even enough calories. Because guys, it's 3,500 calories equals 1 pound. So like, I think sometimes when you do have that mindset, you definitely should check yourself in. Because, and this is a learned thing for me, guys, 10 years ago,
it is for everyone.
Yeah. It was completely opposite. I didn't look at anything and I was just like, what? So it just going to therapy and talking to experts have really helped me realize like, oh, you aren't a failure. There's so many scientific things of reasons why the scale goes up and goes down and why one day you feel bloated and the next day you don't. And I learned a lot, and that actually makes me calm down. Mm-hmm. So I get the anxiety will start, and then I have to slowly give myself logical statements that are factual. And then I'm like, oh.
And then you probably had experiences. So like one time I had hot pot. The next day I weighed myself and I gained literally 10 pounds. My ring couldn't come out. I don't know what was in the magic hot pot, but I somehow like blew up.
What's a hot pot?
Hot pot. It's like where you cook it. If you ever had,
I've had fondue.
It's a Korean thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Korean. So that they make this pot of broth,
it's
and
like
then
a stone pot. Yeah,
throw things in it, and there's like a big wall that has all the things that you can pick. Or sometimes they bring it. My husband wanted to do it, and I was like, "Cool, I've never done it before." It was salty. I didn't realize it was.
You blame your husband?
Oh, 1,000%. 1,000%. Yes. Now he's a bit more adventuresome with certain foods than I am. So he was like, "Let's do the hot pot place," because we have quite a few. We have a lot of Asian restaurants of all kinds in Orlando. We have like some areas that are like really, really, really interesting food. So we went, but like I've never blown up like that before. I mean, I couldn't get my ring. So it was a good experience because in my mind, I'm like, okay, I now have some information that this is possible. I did not consume that many extra calories in a day. I am full of really yummy salt. So that actually like reinforced this idea of this isn't an excuse, this is an explanation. And then the next day, I drank a bunch of water that day and the next day, and most of it went away pretty quickly because I was definitely retaining fluid. And I would imagine whatever was in that very tasty hot pot had a bunch of salt in it. I mean, it must have.
And I'm going to use that. And because I get really tired of people saying, oh, that's just some excuse. But it's like, it's an explanation. Because, like, I think when I was helping out with a company in Vegas for a few days, like, I was like, no, guys, like, I don't drink. And I was out with you guys late. Like, I don't, they wanted me at breakfast at 7:30. You two know. Do you think Melanie's ever up at around 7:30, even just period, let alone eating breakfast? I was like, hey guys, you can have breakfast without me. I will get up at 7:30 and I will take my shower and be ready by the time you're done eating. Because I am not going to do that. And I'm going to bring a shake. And they're just like, that's just an excuse. And I was like, no, this is how I roll.
And you probably knew if they were going to expect you to have energy throughout the day that you probably needed to preserve it in the morning, and that wasn't necessary. So
right. It was not necessary.
Yay for advocating for
you. I'm in bed at like 8:39, so.
I mean, I'm in bed. I mean, I'm going to be asleep.
Do you know how much
I work in bed?
I had a choice. I would not get up early. I do struggle if I have to be up at like 7. I hate having to get up early.
Yeah.
I like to get up at 7. Yeah, like I do best when I naturally wake up. I think there's a sleep cycle thing to that. So I probably naturally wake up at 7:30, 8 o'clock. But like having to have an alarm go off at 7, ooh, I feel like Bugs Bunny in the morning. Have you ever seen that Bugs Bunny where he's like, he's like, I think you're feeling like Bugs Bunny this morning.
But so I usually wake up before my alarm, so.
Yeah, your circadian rhythm or whatever is on that schedule.
I would imagine too, just as a surgeon, like if your call time is at set, like what time do you get to the hospital?
I'm usually there between 6 and 6:30.
So what time do you get up?
Yeah, like 5?
5:30-ish.
It's way too early.
Yeah.
The only time I better be getting up that early is if I'm going somewhere exotic. Exotic.
Where you have to get up early
to get
up.
I'm getting on a plane to go somewhere exotic. And not even like most of the time when I travel, I don't want to leave that early.
No.
What'd you say?
No.
I was kidding. I said not like a gentleman's club. When you said exotic, that's what I pictured. I was like, that's not what she means.
And it's funny. So like those that are not from Orlando, we still have strip clubs here, which I find amazing. Not as many though as Jacksonville, which I think has to have the most amount of strip clubs.
Really? I've never been to Jacksonville.
Oh my gosh. There's this place called Bottoms Up, which is a bottomless strip club. It's half burnt down. And it could be a rap song.
It is a rap song. I'm singing it right now in my head. Yeah.
So I worked a home visiting program when I worked in Jacksonville, and there's an apartment complex across from Bottoms Up. Bottoms Up. And in Jacksonville, they also had TV ads for strip clubs, and there's this place called Zonkers. Anyone from Jacksonville? Like, they used to show the lunch special, which looked literally like cafeteria food. And they'd be like, we have lunch specials here at Zonkers. And they had truck parking and you could park your work vehicle there. And I was like,
oh my God,
this is a strip club. Why is this on the TV? But Bottoms Up burnt down when I lived in Jacksonville because I used to home visit across the street at this complex and we watched it like burn down one day. Oh, it was funny. Oh. So I'm sitting there with my pregnant lady that I'm working with and we're like sitting. She had like these foldy chairs outside her apartment. And we're just watching Bottoms Up burn down.
I mean, that's comical.
It was.
So they rebuilt. Freaking comical.
They rebuilt.
That's great. That's great.
They also used to have Valentine's Day couple special and the best couple got a bottle of champagne. I remember thinking, like, who is going to Bottoms Up on Valentine's Day?
Dude. I'm sure it's a popular day, actually.
People that have far more exciting lives than me. That's probably a lot more drama, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I like my simple life. That's totally fine.
Yeah, Jacksonville definitely probably has more strip clubs than we do here in Jacksonville. But we do have quite a few.
I've driven down OBT. There's lots on that street.
Well, it's a stripper street.
Yeah. I used to live near Rachel's.
Do you think those strippers suffer from perfectionism?
Serious question.
Serious question. Actually, I think that's probably a better question for Dr. Bates.
I'm joking.
I know. I thought about that, though. So funny. I have worked with people in that industry before, and I don't think perfectionism was a theme. There's a lot of other themes, but not that one.
I'm sure.
I always thought, like, would it be a tax write-off as a business expense to get a boob job? Because that is, like, a tool of their trade. And they're almost all 1099.
I bet there's a loophole somewhere.
I'm sure it could be.
Yeah. Yeah. Our travel is.
I had a CPA once tell me if I went to a strip club and started handing out my card, that could be a write-off because I'm trying to get.
No, 100%. Anytime you give your card out, it's a write-off.
I mean, I could see, or you could sponsor bottle service Rachel. Or something. Yes, at Rachel's. Fun. They have food there. Get steak, get everyone dinner.
I've heard they have food. I've never been. I've heard mixed reviews.
I wouldn't want to eat.
Neither
at a strip club. Bottoms Up had food, and I was like, no.
No, okay. They can only have bar food. That would be fine. Like, that would be acceptable.
Rachel's is a steakhouse. Like a somewhat highly rated, probably for Castleberry it is. Where it's physically located, it's not exactly in the best area.
I'm just going to say this. If you go there, I'm definitely judging you, and I don't care. I really don't. Because, like, that you do not need your steak.
We have many, many, many other fabulous steak places.
From someone who's been there, though, and this made me feel a little bit better, the stripping and the eating doesn't happen in the same room.
Well, that does make me feel better.
Yeah.
That does make me feel a lot better.
From, like, a health department standpoint, that sounds...
Thank you.
Like it should.
That helped a lot, actually, because I was just, like...
I was envisioning that, too. I'm like...
Because I'm like, are they on a table near you? Are they on a runway?
I was wondering the same things until someone told me it's, I guess, a different room. I'm not sure how it works exactly. But
that's
they were
perfect.
Like, no, it's not in the same, like,
a restaurant part. Okay. And then.
That works. Okay. All right. Back to the topic of perfectionism.
Have you seen that come up? Have you seen perfect, like, where people come in and they're just like, this is a centimeter off. This is, and you're like, what? Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I thought we might have talked about this last week where
I think we talked about it offline.
We did talk about it offline, yeah.
I had this patient come in. It's happened a few times, and I think you eventually just have to tell them, like, you have a result that is – nothing's ever perfect, right? I mean, natural bodies aren't perfectly symmetric. This lady was actually a breast reconstruction patient. We had done her breast reconstruction. I had done some fat transfer for her. She had a bit of rippling. We did another round of fat transfer. It got to like the fourth or fifth surgery, which is a very nice result. And this is not just my opinion. Like, I'd shown her afters to many other people. And then she comes in and she's complaining that the footprint of her breast, right? So what we call the inframammary fold, kind of like the cup of the breast, was about a centimeter off. So less than half an inch. In height or in vertical height. And she's like, I want this lifted to match the other side, or the other one dropped, you know, whichever, so that they can match. And I said, this is not worth going to the operating room for. We're talking about a 1 centimeter difference, which is a very normal, you know, kind of like normal stage of life.
Natural.
Yeah, very natural. I said, I'm not taking you to the operating room to fix a 1 centimeter difference in your bowl. That's not like 5 or 6 centimeters or even 2 centimeters. And, you know, I think I told you guys last week, you know, she got upset. She said, well, if you don't fix it, I'll find someone else to do it. And she, you know, I don't know if she ever did that or not, but I'd be shocked if a surgeon went in to fix a 1 centimeter difference. So you have to get to a point where you accept a good result.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you.
No, it's just like I hope she doesn't find someone, but I'm afraid she will find someone and just take her money. Because it's like 1 centimeter, that's like, right?
Yeah, very little. Yep.
It's very little. Like, how did she even notice? Like, that's because, like, women in general have one boob bigger than the other anyway.
Mm-hmm. So it's bigger, like the folds are actually also almost never at the same height. If you look at your breasts carefully in the mirror, they're usually not the same height. You know, that's probably a congenital thing, like because you've got your heart on one side. It could be related to like your musculoskeletal anatomy and where the muscles attach. But the breast folds are almost never at the same height.
I was thinking the dominance. Yeah. Because, like, my right side I'm dominant with, but my left I'm not. And the left is the bigger.
So, you know. Left is bigger in most women.
Really?
I don't think it has to do with handedness. I think it's,
so like it's a heart
thing. I think it's an embryologic thing.
Very cool.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, you're right in the sense that she could knock on, and I warn patients sometimes. Like, I'm very honest with them. If someone comes in and is like, I want this, you know, like, let's say they're like, I want a lipo to get a nice contoured stomach. And I'm like, lipo is absolutely not going to be the best answer for you. It's like, lipo is going to be a bad answer for you, not just not a good answer. And I tell them, like, you need a tummy tuck. And they're like, but I don't want a tummy tuck. Well, okay, that's fine. I'm not doing lipo for you because I want to have a good result. And I don't think you're going to get a good result with it. And in those situations, I'll tell them, and be careful, because you go knocking on enough surgeons' doors, someone's going to tell you, sure, let's book you for lipo and do it next week and take your money, and you're not going to be happy. So you're right. She might find someone to do it, and it may be worse, right?
Yeah. Now it's off like an inch. So now it's like, right. Yep.
Yeah.
Just because she wanted to fix this little tiny. And that, I mean, she definitely needs someone to talk to talk that out, because that's a mental thing. That's not a physical issue.
To be clear, her job had nothing to do with anyone seeing or how she fit in anything, or like, this was not,
she wasn't a stripper.
She was not a stripper.
She didn't work at a sex club.
Right.
Not as far as
so it is. I mean, I could imagine. Okay, there we go. My internet skipped. Sorry.
We did. We both clapped.
I know, that's where you got stuck to. But I think that I don't know if you had a job or, but a centimeter does seem, and again,
I've definitely
worked with people who have all sorts of things. I do think for some people, they start to see something that's not there. I don't know why I see that a lot more in breast, where like they really do look fine, but they don't look fine in their own mind, or from the perception of what they see, they don't look good, but other people, professionals looking, see it differently. But even
that's a real body dysmorphia situation then.
Well, yeah. I think, you know, Mel asked earlier why, I think you asked something like, why are people looking, you know, and I think very commonly, especially after plastic surgery, people are looking at that body.
That was
part,
off. You know. That was offline.
Yeah, yeah, but you said that now, like, why are people looking?
Like,
at the results. Why are they staring at their breasts or whatever? But, you know, same with faces, same with whatever, mm-hmm. buttocks, legs, arms, whatever body part was operated on, you are going to spend time looking at and looking for asymmetries or imperfections. But a lot of those asymmetries and imperfections were there. Now, there are times where, yes, maybe you had a bad result because you didn't have good surgery, or you picked the wrong surgery, or a surgeon did the wrong operation. But for the most part, your body's not perfectly symmetric. I don't know if we've talked about this on the show before, but, you know, they did this thing where, like, they'll take, like, a celebrity's face and, like, mirror image one side, and it looks like someone totally different.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think there's also a psychological aspect of that, too, where if you're someone who's avoided looking at your body because you were unhappy, uncomfortable, or maybe you're in a larger body, you mirror avoided for a really long time, and now all of a sudden you start looking and looking very intently, you might not have had a good understanding of what you looked like before. And so now all of a sudden you're starting to look and pick at yourself and look for those things that are, you feel are wrong. And I think sometimes, particularly as you start to fix things, we talked about this last time, like where I felt like my arms then were like the dead giveaway. So then I started more looking at that, like, okay, I feel like I need to fix that. But yeah, I mean, it makes sense. You're having to look at that area because you may have dressing that you have to change and you're swollen, so you don't look quite right yet. I think we talk about this illness in every single episode, but having realistic expectations and understanding that you're going to be swollen for quite a while, you will not see your immediate result right away. You definitely get asymmetric, like you get asymmetric. I remember I had my scar looks kind of weird when I get swelling on one side. So the scar actually looks slightly, crooked, but then most of the time it's straight, but it actually has to do with like probably something going on internally for me. But it is interesting because I remember looking at it being like, why is it straight sometimes and not? And then the surgeon's like, oh, you're swollen on this one side. And she like pushed down and then it like straightened up. And I was like, oh, nice. So
well, I think too, like I know there's people out there that legit stand in front of a mirror naked and look at their body. I am not one of those people. I'm not scared to look at my body. It's just, I just do it when I take a shower and I'm getting ready and like naturally when it's happening, not like, because I know there's people out there just picking themselves apart and it's just like, ooh, because scary. I think
some people believe that is motivating. So for some people, picking yourself apart, they believe if I'm hard on myself, then I will do better. Maybe historically someone was hard on them. And to some degree, it is motivating, but it's not motivating in the long term. It's only motivating in the short term. Right, and now, it has more detrimental effects on you in the long term, because then that becomes the pattern in which you think. And so we want to be careful. You know, I think when I have people that are like, I just can't not stand and look at myself and pick myself apart. And I said, okay, forever, however long that you're standing and picking yourself apart, I need you to also talk about what you're thankful for your body being able to do, what the positive change that you've seen, you know, that what does this symbolize, you know, in a positive way. But it is tough. I mean, trying to accept your body for what it is right now can be tough, especially kind of in that in-between space.
Well, I finally, after 10 years, like, I accept my body now of what it is and what it does, and I'm happy with it. But I wonder if I would turn into someone that would look at it differently if I had plastics. I'm curious.
It's interesting. You both mentioned kind of looking in the mirror. We have patients who come in sometimes for like weeks. They don't want to look at they're very ashamed, like, you know, during the consult, we do an exam, right? And they're like very ashamed. Some are, I mean, it's very typical, I think, to be shy to show someone else your body, but some don't want to look at themselves.
Like, yeah. Oh, I don't mind the doctor looking, but I don't want to be in front of I don't like them pulling me in the front of the mirror and being like, what do you think about this? What do you think? I'm like, I would like you to figure that out. But they're like, no, you have to figure that out with me because it's you. Yeah.
Yeah, so see, that's interesting because I typically do the same thing. I always have a patient stand in front of the mirror because I want to show them this is what this scar will do. This is what this scar will do. And I want them to see that so they can make the best decision for themselves. And so that's what I was getting to is some patients don't want to, they're like, I don't want to look at myself. I don't want to see it. And then it's interesting because a lot of those same patients, like even for the first few post-ops, they don't want to see their results. Like, we'll, you know, we'll walk in and be like, what do you think? And they're like, I haven't looked. Next week, what do you think? I haven't looked. Yeah.
Yeah. A little trick with that for some people. And I had one surgeon that did this for me and it was actually kind of helpful. She tilted it so I couldn't see my face. So I could just see like neck down and we weren't doing anything. And I don't know why, but that was kind of helpful.
That worked for you. Yeah.
I don't know how your mirror, you just have like a whole mirror, or is it like a mirror that can be tilted?
It's a full body mirror.
Is it like on the wall or is it like,
I have two at 90 degree angles because I typically will have them stand to see both. I did it on
purpose, God,
which doesn't help people like you, but so I can have you stand and see two views. Right, so you can see the back. You can see the front and the side at the same time or the back and the side at the same time.
Yeah, I will say the Baja lady has the craziest mirror. It's like this weird, like you can see it from all angles. I hate that thing.
I would love that mirror.
I know. And the funny thing is I know it's for the best and it's good, but I'm like, I'm good.
You're not like, as Ashlyn just described, like you're not actually like pulling their skin and touching them, are you? Mm-hmm. Oh, you are.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, a lot of times, like, you can simulate, like, an arm lift, right? Like, I can tell them, like, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to tell them, like, this is where your scar is going to be. For, like, back lifts, you know, it's very helpful to show them what it does to the waist, for example, so you can pick up the skin and, like, simulate what the back lift would look like. With thigh lifts, a lot of times, it's helpful to show them where the scar will be and how much you'll remove. And then you can still show them how much, you know, like, so you have vertical excess is like extra skin in top to bottom direction, right? And you treat that with a perpendicular scar. So you cut out top to bottom skin excess with a horizontal scar and you lift. Side to side excess, you cut out with a vertical scar. So you kind of go opposite the direction of the excess. And so sometimes if they're like, well, I want a thigh lift, I don't want the long scar. So then I can show them, okay, well, this is what happens when we do the lift, but look at the loose skin you still have in the side-to-side direction. And a lot of times they get, you know, why one option may not be the best for them.
No, I'm just having anxiety, just you describing it.
Well, also, like, so, if you have separation of the wall and you need muscle repair, they need to, like, feel around. I'm sure you can see mm-hmm. that, but I think, too, often I could tell what they were looking for when they were, like, moving things around and, yeah. But no, you definitely, I think some of the confusion comes, there's some surgeons that do, like, virtual consults.
Oh, consultations.
I do virtuals, yeah.
Yeah. So in those cases, obviously, no one would be able to, but I guess, do you have them move things around so you can see?
No, I don't have people undress on camera. I usually have them send photos. And yeah, then there's no pinching. But there are, and most patients, you know, a virtual is a very different, I think, I don't know if atmosphere is the right word, but setting maybe, right? And you don't have the opportunity to do any of that. And so a lot more time is spent on before and afters. And I will show them their pictures. So I'll share my screen and show them their pictures and say, you know, this is what we can do. This is what a backlift would do. And then I'll show them some before and afters to kind of, I go through a lot more before and afters to show them, like, this is what a backlift would do. This is what, and then, you know, this is what A will do. This is what B will do. This is what C will do. Which option do you like? Or if they're only a candidate for A, then I'm just going to show them A.
Yeah, because I'm just going to tell you now, once I do my consultation with you, I might have an anxiety attack. Totally fine.
We'll do it live. I'll be there. We'll do it live. It'll be a live episode. So then you can have the panic attack. It'll be great.
Oh, thanks.
Live, the cutting edge.
Literally the cutting edge, showing Melanie getting pulled and moved. Because like that, it's really the touching part that gets me. Everything else is fine, because as you're talking about it, I'm just thinking like, oh yeah, that's the part that fucking sucks. And he's just, you know.
So you get to wear a little, do you guys wear the little black undies that have like the middle part, or do mm-hmm. you just wear the regular? Yep.
So do you have to do undies, and then if we're not doing breasts, we have bras.
Okay.
Like
the boobs I don't care about. It's actually more the vajayjay.
Yeah. No, we have underwear. Everyone gets underwear. And then if you're not, if we're doing like tummies or, you know, arms, then we give bra as well. I mean, we don't need to see that or mess. Right. I mean, like, that's not what we're in clinic for.
Right. You're like, we're not even touching that part. I don't even know why we're showing it right now.
Yes. Correct.
Yeah. That's great. That's great. Well, cause like, okay, guys, be prepared for that. I did not, when we talked about what to do long time ago, when you're in an actual consultation,
you didn't know that they were going to touch you?
No, I had no idea.
All so right.
Now, I mean, maybe not everyone does. I don't know. Again, on a virtual, we don't need
to. I've never had a consultation where they did not touch me.
Okay.
I've had a few. So, no, you always, because they got to feel what's going on under there.
I get it. And that's what I'll do. And it's going to be Dr. Beta's. Will be fine. So, it'll literally be, let's just have it us three in the room. That's what will happen.
I'll be there. It'll be great.
Ashlyn keeps me calm. She's a calm person.
I'll do mine afterwards.
Oh, okay. That makes it better. That does. We can take one for the team.
Can you do? I'm so curious about my thighs.
Ooh.
My poor lower back.
See, and you got accused of trying to get too perfect.
No, my friend told me that I was getting addicted to plastic surgery.
Addicted. That's right.
It's like, oh, honey, if I was addicted to plastic surgery, this body would look very different. Just going to throw that out there.
So, Dr. Bates, have you had to tell people no? Because I know that you talked with a centimeter person, but, like, say, you know, they keep coming back and being like, I need to fix this now. I need to fix that now. Like, is there a limit that you'll be like, I know you don't touch faces, but.
Yeah, I would say I can think of, like, two examples of my own that kind of come to mind. So one was a lady, and her results are on my social media. I won't say who she is, but that's how good her results are. So she came in for a tummy tuck and a BBL. She was actually sent to me from another plastic surgeon. because he doesn't do kind of these complex weight loss patients. I would say she has a great result. She comes in and she's never been able to actually tell me what she doesn't like. She like, and she has my number. So sometimes she'll text me. Huh?
It's a red flag.
Yeah. And she's like, I just expected something different.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? You know, like, I was like, your result is great. I was like, I have your result on my Instagram. Like, I wouldn't put a bad, you know, no one's going to put a bad result. We talked about that on one of the other episodes, right? And if your result is good enough to put on social media, I mean, I think that says a lot, right? Like, if a surgeon's telling you have a good result, but he doesn't want to put it on, or he or she doesn't want to put it on social media, that might be a red flag. Unless
that's
you know, refused to be put on social media, that's a different story. But right. If you've given permission and they haven't put you on, yet they're telling you like your result's great, that, you know, then there's like a question mark.
I always wonder, my hair lady, she like takes pictures and then doesn't put it on. So I'm always like, did you just forget? Or you don't think this looks good?
Hopefully the latter.
Yeah, she's never, and there is something unique about her job, you know, where she, without giving away too much, like she wears some special kind of like device on her waist. And so she was like, well, when I do that, I get a bit of like, okay, kind of like a little side roll. Kind of like when you wear a bra and you get that bra, the bra fat. And I told her, you know, I'm happy to fix it for you. I was like, but A, you never, I mean, you told me what you did for a living, but I had no idea that like this was an issue before. And so I couldn't have anticipated it after. I'm not sure anyone would have anticipated it. So kind of one of those things like, okay, we figured it out afterwards. I don't think anyone would have known ahead of time. I'm happy to fix it for you. Now we need to do like a lower body lift, maybe a bit more lipo. But it's not just a tummy tuck. Mm-mm. And, you know, that was the one issue she's mentioned. But then since then, she's kind of come back and been like, I'm not happy. I expected something different. But again, never really told me what she expected. And so the last time I saw her physically, I said, go get a second opinion. I was like, go see someone else, see what they'll do for you. I haven't, this was like maybe a year ago and I haven't heard from her. So I don't know if she went and had a revision somewhere else. I don't know if she went and people told her like, you're crazy, or if she just never went and saw anyone.
Those are so hard too, because I think sometimes you're starting to get into that more clinical, like psychological clinical area when it's like, I have a feeling, it doesn't feel right, it doesn't look right, but I can't really identify what that is.
Yeah, they can't figure out like what the look they're actually looking for. It's almost like they're doing it as they go.
Mm-hmm. Which I will say, I've never been one who brought in a photo and was like, I want, I don't know, Kim Kardashian's butt or anything. Like I've never brought in a photo. I feel like that sets people up. Sometimes I've definitely have clients and I'm like, this person's a model. They've always been a model. They're a model with fake boobs, maybe AI now. And like, you lost 225 pounds. I don't think your boobs are ever going to look like that. I don't think my boobs are ever going to look like that. I don't think most people I know's boobs are ever going to look like that. So like, how do you deal with that when people bring you in like pictures and you're like, this person never, the starting point of this person is just very different.
Just way different.
You know, I like it when people bring in pictures because I think it allows a better discussion for kind of exactly what you just said.
Yeah. Huh?
Tell me more about that. Cause I'm
well,
like,
so I think to your point, right? Like you're looking at a photo and you're like, I'm never going to be this, right? Whatever, you know, whether it's Kim Kardashian or someone else. I mean, everyone has some degree, like, you know, I'm not going to be a big bodybuilder. This is never going to be who I am. And so I think it allows, if someone comes in and is bringing in pictures that are like way unrealistic, then we have to, I don't know if you can see my hands, way unrealistic. We have to bring them back to reality. And if they can't understand that, then that's like a red flag. And I tell them, you know, go maybe find someone else who can give you that result, because that's not me. I'm going to tell you what's possible in my hands, and that's not possible. So I think it's actually good to bring in photos because it kind of gives the surgeon an idea of what you're looking for, and rather than trying to put it into words, I guess.
Yeah, I guess that's good too, because it's like, what do you like about this? I think sometimes when I have clients that are like, question. I like a fake look, but I don't know how to tell the surgeon that. And I'm like, I think the surgeon has heard everything. So you telling him you want a fake look, he may be able to tell you clinically what that means. But if you, you know, that makes sense that it could be like a stepping off point for like, what about this photo do you like?
What does that mean? A fake look.
What would you say if someone came in, like, what's the clinical? Is that like the placement or cleavage or
like for implants? Yeah. So typically, yeah.
I've had clients tell me fake, I'm specifically looking like for a fake look.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So like what I tell patients, for example, with a breast dog, and I typically will show them a side view because I think that shows it the best. So from the side, you see the fullness up here. And I tell patients, you know, different types of implants, different techniques, that, you know, that's going to show that you had breast implant much more obviously than a different, like a natural breast usually just has like a kind of a ski slope appearance from the side.
And more of a teardrop versus a
mask. Correct. Yeah. So I tell them if you want the augmented look, you want an implant. If you just want a natural look, you want a lift or reduction by itself, no implant.
So I have a quick question about implants because you posted something recently about okay, so you're just blow my mind right now. I didn't know this. So, okay. Did you like, not obviously you didn't put these implants in, but the casing now, was that made by the body, like calcifying to make a case? Mm-hmm. Okay. That's what I understood. I was like, or did you put it
today, which was maybe even worse.
But it's supposed to do that, correct? To some degree?
Some degree, right. So your body, you know.
Okay, so tell us capsular, how that works.
Yeah, so capsule or contracture. So capsules is capsule scar tissue. It is your own body's tissue. It's not made by the implant. And your body forms, whether I call a capsule or a scar, it's the same thing. But your body forms a capsule around any foreign object that's put in, right? Whether it's a breast implant, a pacemaker, like a chemotherapy port.
Okay.
Your body forms a capsule. With all the other devices, typically they're hard objects, right? Those two things I mentioned, pacemakers, ports. So your body can't contract or tighten down around that because it's a hard object. Or whereas with implants are soft, right? We know they're soft. They feel soft. And so generally scars, if you ever had a scar, they want to kind of like contract or shrink down. And so the first thing your body does when we put the implants in over time with the first 3 to 6 months is form that capsule or that scar tissue.
Okay.
And then there's a grading system for them. But a grade one capsule, because sometimes we have a scribe and sometimes I'll be like dictating like grade one capsule. And they're like, oh, I have capsule. Yes, that's very normal to have a capsule. Everyone has a capsule as soon as you put an implant, you know, maybe not as soon, but like within a month or two. But then that can progressively shrink, contract, you know, scar down. To the point where it starts to deform the implant, to the point where it might shift the implant location, and it could even get painful. That's kind of the last like grading system.
Okay.
So yes, it's very common you're going to have a capsule once you have an implant.
No matter what, kind of form.
But yeah, the calcification usually happens more over time, and that's harder to predict and harder to see. I think like someone asked a question, like, can you see it on an X-ray? And you would think you could with like, because it's calcium, it's, you know, it's right. Almost like bone, but you don't, even on a mammogram, you don't typically, unless it's like very, very thick, which hers was thick, you know, probably to most people, but I've seen thicker. They typically won't show up on any kind of imaging.
Like, guys, it literally looked like he was cracking an egg basically and then pulling it out. I was like, oh my God, this is insane. So for today, for that person that you did that for, was there something wrong? Was it hurting her? So you had to like take them out? Maybe did you put new ones in? Like, how does that work?
She wanted, well, so at her first consult, she wasn't sure she actually didn't want new implants. So that was the plan we made. And then about a week or two before surgery, she was like, well, do I want implants? Why not? I said, you know, with the amount of work that we're doing, I'd probably recommend, because we were doing a lift at the same time. I told her I would recommend, let's get the implants out, do your lift. We'll do an auto augmentation. So I, again, save some tissue to kind of replace the implant with her own breast tissue.
Nice.
And I told her if in like 6 weeks or 2 months, you're not happy, we can just schedule you a month later to put some implants back in. But I wouldn't, sometimes I just don't do that at the same time. It's a little bit too much.
Very nice. So that one, so you have, that was one of your examples of the ex, of the perfectionism earlier. Did you, yeah, I think you said you had two, right?
Oh, yes. The second one, wouldn't say she was chasing perfection. Okay. We might have talked about like unrealistic expectations. So this might have been more of that. Okay. I can't remember the exact conversation, but it was someone who had done something on her thighs. I'd done other procedures like arms and things like that. But something on her thighs, if I remember correctly, was the issue. And again, she had a good result. And I'm sorry, I don't remember the exact discussion, but at one time, like the last time I saw her, she looked at me and she said, you know, I expected X. And I looked at her and I said, yeah, I never said that, right? She said, no. She's like, I know you never said that. She's like, I'm fully aware you never said that. I'm not blaming, I'm not accusing you of ever saying that. Gotcha. But she said, I assumed and I expected X. I can't remember what X was.
I had a client that was expecting really her legs were going to look smoother and tighter. And I remember thinking, I don't think they were ever going to look smoother and tighter. I think they were going to look smaller, which they look smaller. Mm-hmm. But I think that idea of really they were going to get that perfect youthful leg. And some of our conversation is she never, ever had that even as a child. So like that would be really hard to go back to or not even go back to.
I wish I could remember what her expectation was. And it's funny because when she said it, I was like, I never said that. Like, I was like, I would never say that to anyone. It was something like so ridiculous. I was like, I know I never said that. And she was like, yeah, and I'm glad she immediately said, yeah, you're right. You never did. So I was glad she didn't like, you know, accuse me of saying that.
Yeah. Because, I mean, that's got to be like, ooh, like, wait a minute. There's no way.
Legs are probably one of the most that I see. And I'm like the amount of change isn't crazy like in stomachs. I'm sure they're like ability to walk and be more comfortable, but I think that same like skin removal and tummy tucks on stomachs just seems so much more. So I wonder if sometimes people have unrealistic expectations because they see such difference in other body parts.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah. I can't remember what her complaint or, you know, what her expectation was. I have to go back and maybe look at her chart. I remember the lady. I just don't remember what she said.
No, I'm sure it's there in the chart, but I guess like, I'm just kind of like wondering what, so if you see this happening, Ashlyn and Dr. Baines, like, is there something that you give them, Ashlyn, like a coping mechanism or something for them to like, you know, calm them down or how does this work?
We kind of figure out how they came to this. And more work on that. So if the idea was, or historically, if I just work hard enough, I'll get the result that I want. This actually comes up a lot in postpartum, which is another area I work. Like, I'm a lawyer, I'm really smart, and I should be able to figure this out. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I should be able to figure this out. Because historically, that probably helped them immensely, and it may not here. And so we kind of talk about like, where did it come from and how did we get there? And what would it mean if we never reached perfection? Like, I think like we talked about last time, that like final chapter part, like, is there even really a final chapter? So like, if we had to get there and it's no place that we can get to, like, what are we doing?
Yeah, what do you do?
So I think that more the coping skills, like trying to figure out like where that thought process came from, how it's not helping us, and what is something that a different way of looking at it, thinking about it, how it shows up in our life. But I do think like saying it out loud and talking about it, I have a lot of clients that have a lot of shame that they feel this way about themselves. They would never feel this way about another person. They would never say it to another person to be like, you know, you're not done until your legs look smooth and tight. You know, it's like, no, most of us would be like, man, it's crazy. I can walk around a 5K. Or like, we talk more about the like, what we're thankful about our body for. So I think that's one thing. And I think sometimes the other problem is you can be perfect and things still happen. Oh, I'm stuck again.
Great you can, pause.
There we go. You can be perfect in your, perfect. You can follow all the rules. You can do all the things. You missed my hand gesture.
So close.
But you could do all the things and you could still have like,
it.
I know, right?
I'll do that.
You guys are too funny. You can, so sometimes I'll have clients that get very upset with themselves because let's say they got their legs done and they had an opening. And so they say, Ashton, I did all the things. I followed all the instructions. I'm afraid I'm going to get in trouble. Or again, this usually has childhood stuff about like, you have to be perfect or you're going to get in trouble. Or there's some more historical stuff. Or they're afraid to tell the surgeon, I had an opening. And I'm like, yo, no, we need to like get that dealt with. And chances are you might not have done anything. There just may be some natural movement that was, you know, too tight or whatever. And that those kind of things happen. And that's okay. We'll fix it. But again, that like deserving, themes of deserving and like you only deserve a good result if you do things perfectly. Like we have to kind of break up some of that to be like you can, you still deserve a good result even if you made an error or you did a little too much or whatever. We still need you to seek out
treatment. Still,
yeah.
100%. Like that's just, that would, to be that hard on yourself. Like, don't do it, guys. Don't be this hard on yourself.
It is hard as a therapist. I mean, I have some clients and I'm like, it must be so sad to be in your brain all day, just like beating yourself up over everything.
Yeah.
Like that sounds exhausting. But the problem is probably in places like their career, being a parent, being a partner, that behavior has helped them. So at work, they beat themselves up and they just produce more and more and they show up more and more and they do more and more. And then people praise them and reinforce it. Like, oh my God, you're so dedicated. Mm-hmm. You love being here. You do everything for everyone. And it's because they're telling themselves they're not doing enough. And so it like drives it and then it gets reinforced. So, yep.
I think I've been in that cycle before.
Me too.
I'm not gonna lie.
It's really hard to see it. I like literally had a meeting with someone with yesterday. We like left the meeting. I'm like, that poor lady's gonna burn out in a year. She's doing so much for everyone. Everyone's like, you're so great, you're so wonderful. So it's like so reinforcing, but I'm like, you cannot keep that up.
Yeah, my therapist literally told me two weeks ago, just because you can doesn't mean you have to do it. And I was like, that is so hard for me because when I feel like I can help you, I will do all the things that I think will help you. And so it's really hard when those people take like, listen to me, but then they don't do any of the things. And I'm just like, guys, go back to the beginning.
I looked up her chart. It was a thigh. Like her thighs touched superiorly. I had to find out. I was like, I knew it was something crazy. Not crazy, but.
They touched. Period.
She wanted a thigh gap. She wanted where her upper thigh didn't touch.
And I have a thigh gap. It's only useless. I have a thigh gap. It's useless. It's this big. They still touch in the other part, so it still rubs. It's like, no. Oh,
that's interesting.
You what?
She had had a tummy tuck elsewhere, and I had warned her before that she needed a lower body lift to really address her overall loose skin. And she came in, and she still came in with a thigh gap, and I was like, well, I never told you you were going to have one. And she said, yes, you're right. You never told me that. And I said, we can give one to you, but you need like a thigh lift and not just a thigh reduction, which is what we had done. So she had vertical scars and she needed horizontal scars to treat that upper thigh laxity.
Well, she were right there. She should have just had you do it, man. She'd have her thigh gap because I've heard of that. Like there's people out there that message me and
perfectionism. If there ever was one, my thighs are only perfect when I have a thigh gap. You can have a thigh gap and still be dysfunctional thighs.
Well, my thighs touch, but I have this little triangle. Yes, see. I'm like,
useless. Cool.
Yeah.
Useless.
Yeah, totally fine.
What a funny thing, though. We have those things in our head, like, I will be thin when I have a thigh gap.
No, and just, I know for me, I had to learn probably 8 years ago that, oh, Mel, you just have, this is your body shape. I didn't understand body shapes. Like I understood like, oh, we have a pear, we have an apple, whatever the other one is. I don't know. But like, I understood that, but I didn't understand like, oh, like legit, like my body type goes in. And like for Ashlyn, you're more straight. So it's like.
Right. Actually, I think the tiny thigh gap has to do with like over rotated hips. If you want to know the truth, I think because they're rotated out. So it makes the little triangle, but it's not useful.
No.
Thighs still rub.
Thigh gap isn't really useful. Oh, I guess that's right. Yeah, the rub.
It's like
God, I've had so many problems with the rub. Yeah, I'm so happy I don't have that much problems anymore, but it was getting bad. Bad, bad, bad.
It doesn't matter how thin I get, it is so frustrating. Because it's skin.
Because it's skin. Yeah, you're going to have Dr. Betis do a thigh lift for you. When we go get our consultations, he'll do your thigh lift. There you go. Sorry, alrighty, y'all. Is there anything that you think we forgot about perfectionism? Stop chasing it. That's what I gotta say. Stop chasing it when it comes to your physical being and your mental being. Get 90%, right? Like, no one's 100%. This is how I even do it with men. It's like, as long as they're like 85% or higher, man. That's the new rule. Yeah, it's a high B.
Solid B.
There we go. It's pretty high. So I want an 85%, dude. You're going to get 80%. That's a good framework,
Mel.
Yeah.
I think you're right. Don't chase perfection. But, you know, I mean, you want a good result. Like, no one wants a bad result, right? You want a good result. You want a good outcome, whether it's plastic surgery, bariatric surgery, you know, your weight loss journey. You don't have to be perfect, but you want to have a good outcome.
Yeah. B or more, because that's literally like what I would do in high school and even in college. It's like I would just go for the, like, I'm like, all right, I'm going to strive for the A, but if I get a B, I'm not going to be mad at myself. And so that's what I would do. And sometimes it'd be a C, like calculus, fucking calculus, but I did not beat myself up out of it because it's calculus.
Because you were in fucking calculus to begin with. Yeah. Like, round of applause.
Thank you. Thank you. And I got a C. I was very scared of getting a D. It would have been my first one, but I did it. I was very scared. But so, yes, don't chase it. Just get a percentage. Get a range. That's what we talk about with protein and water, too. Give yourself a range, right? Give you achievable goals and just try to hit it like 85 to 90% of the time, and I think you're going to be good. So, alrighty, y'all. Well, if you guys need any help, you guys know we are here. We even have a Gmail account now, guys. So if you wanted to email us any questions, because you don't want it to see on the comment section, you can. It's literally just thecuttingedgepodcast2026@gmail.com. So go ahead and message us if you need anything. And remember, these two are also on Instagram. It's Dr. Body Contouring for Dr. Betis. And for Ashlyn, it is Ashlyn Change for Life 2012. So you can always hit them up for anything too. All right. Have a great week. We'll see you next time.